Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 754. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Oh, heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, this week, not a whole lot going on. I am happy to be back here for a Tuesday show after last week's travels. That was, oh boy, yep. Not fun to record or even try to record in those situations. And wow, it was kind of interesting last night. I missed the first hour of Raw, so I did not see the advertisement for the six-woman match. But by the time I had gotten around to it, it was definitely all over social media that Naomi and Sasha Banks had walked out of the arena. And it really became the story of the night when the WWE issued a statement. I'm like, this seems really, really strange.
Yes. After a while, I thought it was fake, because it just did not read like something they would write. It did not feature any of their buzz terms. They said belts. It did not. This was an attempt by WWE to get out ahead of the story and get their version of the story out, and they were desperate to do that. And they have never been like that. It took them a week to put their hit pieces together about Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And Punk, they tried to ignore the situation, basically. From what I remember. In the early days, at the very least.
Yeah. I feel like they did at that juncture. Yeah. So, that was a really strange development, because I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, wow, the WWE made a statement. But then I'm like, the WWE never makes a statement.
No. I know it's trivial and silly, but just saying, this shit's fake. We're right in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, that was because I was kind of with you. Like, by the time I sat on it a little bit, I'm like, hold on, this has got to be a work. Like, this is not, like you said, like, it didn't really sound like the WWE, per se, in any type of formal statement kind of a way. You know, I mean, they've kind of made an art out of firing people recently. And their statements don't ever read like this. So yeah, there was reason to think that it was fake, but now that the news has continued to seemingly stick to the story of it, yes, for sure, they walked out. It seems to be that the exact details are, is it fair to say, a little bit hazy, at least for the timeline of when this happened?
The timeline seems to be hazy, I would say.
Yeah, there are some people saying it was earlier in the day that the ladies left. The WWE statement definitely seems to make it sound like it was during Monday Night Raw. That seems like, you know, I assume that they get to the arena however early the WWE wants them to get there these days. It always seemed like a good chunk of time. That seems like when a discussion like this would happen, especially involving a main event.
Well, they specifically said that they were informed of the original match for 8 hours earlier.
Oh, okay. I did miss that. So that makes sense. And I guess how do you, there are so many layers to this, I'm not sure which layer to start at. I guess, do we want to just go through the creative decision of what was supposed to happen and give our two cents on that? Does that seem like a reasonable place to start?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that, that's a reasonable place to start, yeah.
So, yeah, the WWE planned on having a six-woman, it would seem, some type of gauntlet and or elimination style match?
I think it was just one fall.
Oh, just one fall. And it does seem curious with six women in the match, if one of the original finishes was, if I'm not mistaken here, Naomi pins Sasha Banks for the chance at Bianca Belair?
That, I feel like in some places that's been disputed. I mean, what's not disputed at all is that Naomi was supposed to win the match. Which, that set off a lot of bells. Why would you walk away out of a match you're going to win? But it was, I believe that there was going to be some degree of tension, but in the end, Sasha was going to be happy for Naomi winning.
Oh.
And then, in different versions of the story, Sasha was also going to be set up for a Ronda match for the SmackDown title at Hell in a Cell as well. Neither of which was a match they were going to win. And that seems to be the crux of their argument, that, yeah, they're going to be putting these matches, but it's Hell in a Cell. It's, once again, the B-est of B shows at this point.
Oh.
They're just going to be filler to lose decisively and then go back to the being tag team champions in titles that have now been demeaned. In their view. And you know what? I agree with the crux of their argument at the very least. I think that they are right. I don't care how many times we've seen tag team wrestlers get beat like a drum in singles matches. I don't care how many times the tag team champions have lost to one person in a handicap match over the last 20 years. It's wrong. It shouldn't happen. And they were right to fight.
Yeah, and the other reason why I think it's they should fight, the WWE has painted themselves into this corner creatively.
Yes, they have.
Like, I don't know how many times we've done a podcast saying that they haven't created any new stars. Or I know that at least recently, and I definitely feel like at this point it has been more than confirmed that Bianca Belair has definitely had that moment at this juncture.
Yes.
So, we've gotten one new woman in there. And how many years are we saying now that the Four Horsewomen have been on the roster? 6 years? Or is it eight?
Seven. For Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky. Six for Bayley. Now, Bayley still has not returned. Oh. But we have gotten Asuka and Alexa back in the last couple of weeks, so that definitely helps. Raw, it doesn't help SmackDown at all. Oh. And if Sasha and they can't work things out with Sasha and Naomi, that definitely doesn't help SmackDown, because they were definitely using women's tag title stuff to at least, I don't know what to say when I say anchor, but support SmackDown for a segment or two.
I guess that's the other reason why I'm on their side. Like, you put them together because you didn't have anything for them in the singles division.
Correct.
Like, 2 months ago. Like, it's such a bad, you know, it's like one of those bad tropes that we always talk about with Vince McMahon, where the guy just, sometimes he wants to turn directions too frequently. And it's just like, let them run with it, and it seemed like they were pretty successful too. Like, I mean, why wouldn't you want two of your most popular acts together as a tag team to try and push the tag team division? Like, it makes the world of sense. And I do believe that's at least another part of this. And one of these other, I feel like this might be a game of telephone kind of situation, because I feel like I saw as a person, someone close to Sasha and Naomi, mentioning that they've been doing pretty okay with the merch moving since making this change to tag team wrestling.
I mean, they've definitely gotten the whole Boston Globe thing over. They're definitely, they're a part of Raw, but they've been a bigger part of SmackDown. Once again, it's this how decimated SmackDown has been in all of this change, the last draft, all these releases. Sasha and Naomi have absolutely, gotten over in this position.
Yeah, and it does seem like a waste of them to me, to kind of go back to the original point. Like, I'm in agreeance with them, too. Like, I understand the angle that I would assume that the WWE is going with, which is that they need two former champions to seem legitimate as challengers to Bianca Belair and Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
And they, at least on the Raw side of the equation... Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah. I guess they didn't want to burn Asuka, would be what the situation was then?
It felt like they did not want to burn Asuka and or Becky for Hell in a Cell. I think that seems to be... seems to be obvious with knowing that Naomi was supposed to win that match. Now, a Naomi win was absolutely coming out of nowhere. Oh. Because Bianca's been interacting with Becky and Asuka recently. As recently as the close of last week's show. So what they ended up doing with Becky and Asuka, and then Bianca getting involved, but Asuka still, coming away with the win, made more sense with the direction they've been going than just turning course completely and running with Naomi for 3 weeks.
Yeah, even if you go the cheap route and go with a three-woman match for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Becky, Bianca, and Asuka, so that you can protect Asuka. Becky doesn't have to look too bad if she probably would in that situation pinfall.
I think in that situation, Asuka would probably have... It would maybe be more Asuka taking the pin than protecting Becky for later down the road. You could get that either way, but...
Yeah.
I mean, but bottom line, it wasn't supposed to be what they were going for. Oh. And... Well, then let's get into the next part of the timeline here. Sasha and Naomi, do apparently plead their case to Vince, who agrees to accommodate with their suggestions. And then somewhere along the way, some under management, I don't know if it's a producer, I don't know if it's Bruce Pritchard, somebody throws a fit about it, Possibly playing the you're letting the inmates run the asylum card, and who do they think they are, and blah 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 blah. So Vince does an about face and goes back to the original finish, and then that's when things really that's when things start to break down. Now, it's not known at this point, from what I've seen, exactly who put up the big stink, how long they stuck around, how long they negotiated it, and it's believed that they didn't leave until moments before Raw went on the air. and that Vince wasn't told until after 8 p.m. And now, this could be that. Now, from the WWE side of things, that could be a face-saving thing to say that they didn't know that they had already left the building when they put up that first graphic.
Right. Yeah. So,
which I guess is a part of the conspiracy. Did they know that they had already left the building before they put the graphic up for the original match? Because up to the top point when the show went on the air, they had not announced that match yet.
Yeah, it's that's one of those things that I'd be surprised if we end up getting the actual, you know, timing of everything in the end. But, you know, it is an interesting plot point, I suppose, in this whole story. I mean, because it's quite a saga here. because the statement itself didn't come out. Did it come out after around 9:30 or something in that area?
No, it was still pretty early in the show. It was still about 30 to 45 minutes in the show.
Okay. Yeah, because I guess by the time I jumped on around 8:45-ish or so, I guess I didn't think I saw it right away when I jumped on ye olde Twitter machine, so I was assuming that it probably happened after the 9 p.m. hour. Anywho, yeah, it's... It's an interesting spot for the WWE to be in currently. I mean, if they wanted to release them, they'd be released by now. Would you think?
That's not the game they're playing here. No. In the end, I think things will work out. But I don't know. I don't know either. Once again, this is so not WWE's MO to handle things. They absolutely wanted to get their story out, and they wanted to absolutely just... what's the word I'm looking for? they wanted to demean them in the press, basically.
Oh, yeah, they definitely wanted to make them look like the bad characters in the situation.
Yeah, and particularly, it seems like particularly Sasha. Because they have utilized every contact they have in the news media to get this press release, their statement issued out there. Verbatim, unchallenged, unchecked, no additional research, no attempt to get the other side, which, yeah, the state of journalism today is absolutely great. Yeah. Thanks, journalists. You've done your part to ruin this country. Thank you. Oh, that's sorry about that. That's the only editorializing on that digression I'll go. Someone brought up that I don't know if you can call it a conspiracy theory, but the theory that WWE knows that Sasha's made inroads in the entertainment business. You know, she's got a lot of things on her own. She got the Mandalorian on her own. That was not a WWE deal.
Oh.
So, if you get the word out that she's unreliable, she's difficult to work with, that could put a damper on her plans, her post-WWE plans.
Yeah.
You put these things in papers, let's just say, that, you know, TV and movie executives read.
Yeah.
Your e-news or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not completely surprised By the silence on Sasha and Naomi's part in this situation. I think they're smart enough not to play that game in public, I suppose, is what their thinking is, at least for the time being here. It does seem like a resolvable problem. And honestly...
I believe it is. In the end of the day, I do believe that. I think cooler heads will prevail in the end. But, man, do we have a story right now. And, of course, as of this moment, nothing's been resolved.
Which... That part is kind of interesting. Because when is Hell in a Cell?
June 5th, I think. Sunday, June 5th.
I mean, honestly, you've kind of effectively taken out any way for that match to happen, I would think, at this point. A one-week build would be completely cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, there's two Raws to get Naomi and Bianca. Well, no. That's gone. That's done and over with. No, that's right. Asuka's got the match. That's dead.
Yeah. Well, and I guess I was saying, even if they somehow wanted to backdoor into it, it would be really tough, even with two episodes.
Yeah, no. That part is not going to happen. And once again, I think Sasha and Naomi had great points, and now of course there's reports out, and I don't know how true it is that no one in the locker room sympathizes with Sasha in this story and whatnot. That's coming from Brian Alvarez and Wade Keller, and I don't trust either of those assholes.
You said it, not me.
I'll say it again.
I know that I at least saw what I'm assuming was just trying to get some attention with Zack Ryder posting something about...
God. Yes, you should have complained about that. Yes, you should have.
Dude.
Ruined your career.
You got them started on YouTube, and you did not take advantage of that and did not make them pay you for it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're an idiot, dude. Not you're not smart for not saying anything. You're dumb for not saying anything.
I mean, we can argue whether actually walking out, on a paying crowd, not even just not management, not the talent or the business. Walking out on a crowd that paid to see you is the line. But if today's wrestlers just bend over and take it, as far as bad creative, that's not the way wrestling should be.
And that is kind of another interesting part to this story, I think, is that, AEW is out there. And I would think that if they had a chance to sign Sasha Banks or whatever name she'd end up going by, and or Naomi, then they would take advantage of that. Like, that's not one that I think is going to slide by their desk. What do you think?
It seems like the way things were worded is you two are getting a top level pay per view match. You should be happy with it.
Oh,
but once again, they're looking long term at the long-term health of their tag team, long-term. Nobody looks long-term. Part of the problem with all this is WWE isn't thinking long-term either. They've always been thinking past these last two consecutive pay-per-views, WrestleMania Backlash and Hell in a Cell, to what I'll just call the Stadium Trilogy coming up. And they're just throwing shit at the wall. And, they're just, and the shit they're throwing is just meant to be filler. This is a B show. The B is the B shows, as I've been saying, borderline C show. And nobody, they don't seem to care about it. So I am 100% in support of these wrestlers, standing up for themselves to not be, used as fodder on these type of shows.
Obviously there are director and actor problems from time to time. It seems like, for the most part, though, things usually go smoothly. And that input is usually regarded as far as maybe a little bit of character development goes. And, I mean, we keep on saying it. I agree with their take on the situation, not quick hot shot someone up there to take an L. It's just, it's not good, and you have no one to blame but yourselves. No one to blame but themselves for a lot of creative failures that came before this one. I don't know how long we've been talking about Vince needing to be out of power. And this isn't going to change that situation either, which...
No, that's never going to change. Well, not never, but it's still not going to change in foreseeably. I'd like to see some other changes. I think that first and foremost, get rid of Kevin Dunn, get rid of the camera, get rid of these camera angle switches, get rid of the shaking the camera and the moving the camera in and out and all that crap. Laurinaitis has been proven for time and time again to have a terrible eye for talent. Bruce Pritchard has a 30-year-old bag of tricks that he hasn't updated. So honestly, I could lose him too. If Vince isn't going to go, we could at least get some of the switch out some people in the inner circle, I guess.
But that doesn't seem to be the situation that's going to happen either, though,
No, I guess if it was going to happen, it would have happened last year. Because Nick Khan and Vince McMahon put together their team.
Oh.
And they decided that Bruce, Johnny, and Kevin Dunn were going to be a part of it. So I guess that's where we're at there. And now lately, Raw has improved while SmackDown has slid into the abyss. So at least Raw has been enjoyable most weeks for a few months now.
And I mean, despite all of the chaos, Raw was pretty good again this week. I thought even though I didn't see it because of the replays, I did see the finish. That Bobby Lashley and Omos cage match finish was, I thought a good creative decision to keep that that feud going, since that is your choice. It would seem.
It feels like Omos is starting to get a little exposed in these situations. I mean, having to have Cedric Alexander, continue running in just to have someone in there to do something to make that to move fast in there. And just very limited, how limited his offense is. Even for a Giant at this point. Yeah, it's... You can tell they're hedging their bets with Olmos at this point. In the end, Lashley has gotten the better of Olmos at the end of almost every official meeting that they've had, except for the one at WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, it's and I guess I'd be surprised if Olmos wins the final matchup here. Because it would seem like they're going to stretch this out until Hell in a Cell here.
Wow, I don't know. I think they, in the end, they don't want to hurt Bobby. I wouldn't surprise me if Bobby wins the last match between them.
Oh, no, that's not, I think Bobby's going to win the final match. Yeah, I just am assuming it takes place at Hell in a Cell. Now, whether it takes place in a Hell in a Cell is a different question. I mean, the feud's been running long enough for that to be on the table. I don't want to see that as one of the Hell in a Cell matches, though.
No, I do. I don't. Not at all.
That does not seem like a good use of... Because has it been like a maximum of 3 cell matches on a show?
Yes.
And usually 2? So, yeah, that billing to me doesn't quite live up to it. With that kind of finish, though, to me that says that the things are going to keep on moving with that feud. Well, we got the Mysterios returning this week. It's
yeah,
something.
We do. Yeah, something. The whole Veer thing probably needed to be moved along a little faster. So putting him in a situation where he was wrestling a name guy, but and you know, Ali got to have a little bit of offense on him. You know, referee shenanigans with Miz leading to his downfall. So the selfie stuff was funny.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Mysterios save Ali from certain doom through a double team. Veer is knocked off his feet for the first time. So we can move to either Veer versus Rey or the infamous tag team gets beaten by one guy in a handicap match. But they're not the tag team champion, so I guess it's not so bad.
Oof. Yeah, that's a rough situation if you lose as a tag team. But I would not be surprised, though, that if that ends up happening. I suppose I was a bit surprised, especially with one Randall Keith Orton not in attendance, that the Usos and Riddle had a matchup. I mean, technically his matchup was with Jimmy Uso, but he was definitely in a two-on-one situation.
Yeah, once again, whenever Roman's not around, the Usos never win anything over Orton and Riddle. That's been an important part of the story. That's the reason Orton Reigns tore up the original contract and put himself in a six-man situation where they did get to win, once again because of Roman. This is all setting up to, you know, the Usos having to do it on their own. And in the end, I think that they will.
I mean, no. It would be crazy. I mean, I suppose we have a couple of shows before it.
But, no, we don't. It's Friday.
Oh, shit, that's right. It is Friday. Yeah, they've looked bad the whole time around. Oh. Correcting me like that reminded me that Corey Graves snapping at Jimmy Smith about having the date wrong was, oh boy, to me, not a great look.
No, Jimmy Smith has had some whoppers in the last few weeks. Yeah, this is what happens when you have someone who's not a fan, has no instincts for this, doing this job, and when he's not being fed every single line, things like this happen.
So yeah, I was like, "Ooh, man, Corey Graves just feeling like he's a one man booth now." Yowzers, that's probably the worst part of Raw. That announce team is a one man, three man booth.
Yeah. And throughout the night, you can tell Corey Graves is being the voice of Vince McMahon. Oh my God, pounding that unprofessional line into the ground. We didn't even talk about that part. That's not on the
No,
show.
no, we, but I was just kind of getting to it here in the ramp, and I'm like, oh, yeah, but yeah, that's one of those ones that's kind of, to me, par for the course at this juncture. Corey Graves has definitely been Vince's message man on the Raw commentary booth for quite a while at this point, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose it helps. It would be weird to be a baby face message sender. It would be kind of weird if Byron Saxton was the one dressing people down.
At least they did that with it.
So, yeah, that was another part that was kind of interesting about things. What are you thinking of the continued evolution of Judgment Day now that Rhea Ripley is part of the program here?
I mean, I'm happy for Rhea, I guess, to have something good going for her, but once again, this whole Judgment Day thing is so predicated on it's just something that's just intellectually dishonest. The idea that Edge, that crowds were turning against Edge, and they weren't. It didn't happen, and it's just so wrong. It's like it's starting on this faulty premise, and it's like I can't get past that faulty premise. It is, and it is, even more than anything Bray Wyatt ever did, Alexa Bliss ever did. It sounds like someone who should definitely know better play act.
I was kind
Edge.
of weirded out this week that they are maybe seemingly actively recruiting for the group. I mean, I know the AJ Styles join offer was more sarcastic. It's probably a good way to put it. I guess I feel like word has been out there that there's possibly another person being added to this group.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise me if one or two more people get added to this group. It wouldn't at all. I guess once again, it's just the whole motif of it just doesn't work for me. I just can't get past it.
Yeah, it still hasn't completely landed for me. I do like her inclusion. I do think it helps spice up the group and maybe makes it a little more yeah, they need to move the group somewhere, I suppose. And hopefully they start moving them in a direction. Because, like, I kind of laughed when my phone, when good old Google sent me some highlight about faction warfare in the WWE and citing Judgment Day. And I'm like, they don't really have any factions, guys. I mean, you can, the Bloodline is a faction, sort of, to me. Like, just because Roman Reigns is so above everything else, I have a hard time getting into them as a, like, a real functioning faction. And the only other ones I can think of are two that are on NXT currently, in Legado del Fantasma and Tony and his group of mob thugs, even though they don't have a name yet. But I don't know who there is to oppose them. I would be fairly happy if, because they both had their problems with them, I'd be pretty excited if Finn Balor and AJ Styles stay a tag team moving forward.
It would be possible. The direction I'm suggesting is Balor and AJ fail. And whatever, let's just say the match at Hell in a Cell. Then AJ needs a new partner for, say, Money in the Bank. And instead of getting a friend, he gets his greatest rival in WWE. But the thing is, AJ Styles, the greatest rival in WWE, is also Edge's greatest rival in WWE. It's John Cena.
I guess that'd be an interesting pairing. I can't say I've seen a John Cena is possibly coming back rumor out there. Missing anything?
No, I mean, it's been out there that he's coming back this summer. Possibly coming back this summer.
With the additional show, because the stadium show in Cardiff, Wales, that is freshly announced, is it not?
Yeah, tickets are on sale this week. It's expected to be gigantic. Some of these other stadiums are, you know, in the U.S. are half full or what have you. You know, 50,000 tops for Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. Oh no, this Cardiff is going to have a legit capacity in that building, or in that outdoor stadium, I should say.
I do believe Summers. I want to say that Titan Stadium, where SummerSlam is. I don't know what the ticket sales are currently. I do want to say that it's probably one of the bigger stadiums that they're playing, though. I think it's like 72,000, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Again, I have no idea what the ticket sales are. So, but yeah, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if this is a big one. The WWE is always done very good overseas. And having a John Cena back for something like that would be pretty huge. And aren't they all kind of in the same time frame? Because you're going to one of the stadium shows.
Yes, I'm going to Money in the Bank. So yeah, I would love to see John Cena.
I suppose I did debate going to SummerSlam. Things are not working out in the scheduling department because of my family, but that is close enough to get to. And outdoor stadiums and bigger Well, yeah, the bigger shows are a little bit easier. Oh, John Cena, AJ Styles, going after Judgment Day. Who do they pull into the group for the, well, I mean, Liv Morgan is already there, but she's not going to be the person that helps topple Judgment Day. Who ends up being that that vital cog?
I mean, I think in the end, it will probably still come down to an AJ Styles Edge singles match, or they don't,
No.
and then Judgment Day moves on. Leaves with someone else. Dude, I'm just spitballing these things.
Oh man. I guess we kind of talked about her a little bit with the coming back department. What are you thinking about a very early returning Alexa Bliss here?
She's looking good. She's gotten a couple of wins under her belt. Over both of which over Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
Not don't know if I'm feeling the new entrance music. But
Yeah, I was
maybe
half
for Rowan.
wondering if her husband's, because he's in a band, correct?
Guess you could say he is. I think he's more known as a solo act, though.
Oh,
He has a
okay.
band, but he's known as a
Okay.
solo act.
Well, I guess I was wondering if he wrote the music or not.
It's possible. I haven't heard that it's anyone notable performing the vocals, but it would be it would be possible.
Yeah, and I guess I was a little bit surprised that maybe they wouldn't. I feel like they've acknowledged the whole marriages on TV a little bit more, so I guess I wouldn't be surprised that got mentioned on TV if it did come up, but I just didn't feel like I have heard it. And it does seem a little yeah, the presentation is still a little off for me. I don't know what it, because she has the doll, but she seems to have gone back to more of the cheerleader Alexa Bliss, except her outfit doesn't really say cheerleader Alexa Bliss. It's early, but it's kind of weird for me. So we'll see where that one goes. Alexa Bliss, again, she has a story to tell whenever she decides to tell it, if she decides to tell it. She has definitely had her fair share of creative mishaps. Cody Rhodes, not having any creative mishaps for himself yet in his return to the WWE. One confirmed Hell in a Cell match, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins. Third straight win for Cody Rhodes?
I would say so. I don't think there's still no reason for Cody to take a loss here.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen Cody in ads for like future pay-per-views
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
already.
absolutely. Yeah. Cody is figured in deeply in WWE's plans going forward. I'm not certain. Don't know when they're going for the Roman Reigns match, but I would still think it's going to be sooner than later.
One would have to think, like, even I kind of, it caught my eye that they had him doing those advertisements already. I'm like, whew, they are not wasting any time with this Cody Rhodes momentum at all.
No, they're absolutely not. I mean, I imagine he's either at, like, say, Money in the Bank, which is the commercial he's most notably featured in.
No.
I mean, he is either challenging Roman right then and there, or he's winning the briefcase. I mean, I don't think I mean, and if he's winning the briefcase, then he should. I mean, I don't care if that that makes if it's if it's too obvious. No.
Yeah,
that man needs to win that briefcase.
That would be the most obvious, yet probably one of the most obvious decisions I'd ever agree with. Also, like yeah. If you put him in that match, he should 100% win it. No yes. questions asked. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see a Cody Rhodes Seth Rollins Hell in a Cell match. It should be very good. And the WWE has lightened up a little bit on the old blood policy. I will be interested to see if that happens in this matchup. But yeah, that's not that big of a point. It should be an excellent match one way or the other. I am still getting a hoot out of the Kevin Owens, Ezekiel stuff. And Chad Gable also, doing, well, even, Otis is kind of in on the funny act at this point.
Yes.
Otis is quite a character. Yeah, and Kevin Owens really being determined to find out the truth behind Ezekiel and Elias is, yeah, his been really fun and really well played.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
And this is another one that led into the women's main event between Asuka and Becky Lynch. You were talking about SmackDown not having any women. It was another curious case to have Lacey Evans moved over to Raw after having a month's worth of vignettes on SmackDown.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an interesting decision, an odd decision. Because even if Bayley is at it, it was brought back to SmackDown to feud with Ronda, that's still just one extra person. SmackDown definitely needs more than that. Now, of course, they could not have had the foresight to see the Sasha Naomi situation breaking down as it did. But, yeah, no, it's, it, you know, the Raw women's scene is definitely, I don't know if crowded is the right word for it, but it's definitely busier. But it looks like they're going to take their time with this Lacey Evans stuff and have her become an obnoxious heel with it. Right down to her, you know, Kurt Angle had his three I's, now she's going to have her three W's.
Oh. Yeah, that was another one where I just, yeah, because of the way it was being presented, I'm like, man, this is another strange one. When you're calling out military service and everything, and you're just getting this vibe that they're going into the heel department, it's pretty strange. I suppose to me, I remember when Sergeant Slaughter was for Iraq, and it seemed very awkward then. And this seems like kind of a similar-ish situation, where she's praising them, but she's going to end up being a heel, and it's going to be really, really awkward. Yeah, that one's pretty interesting. And I suppose keeping on the women heavy show here, only thing on SmackDown of interest maybe, I would think, Raquel Rodriguez ends up answering Ronda Rousey's challenge. And she gets in some offense, still loses in fairly short order though.
Yeah, no, but no, I mean, they played the match that she was overpowering Ronda at every turn. And all Rhonda could do was grab onto a hold, you know, use her mixed martial arts background, use her submission background to stop Raquel from delivering that final blow. I mean, it in that sense, the match was played well. And, you know, when Rhonda's been put in some of these situations, even in her first run, you know, she had some really, really good to great matches on pay-per-view. But if she was put in a situation where she had to have a match on TV on, you know, a day's notice or what have you, maybe that didn't go as well. But this, you know, they idiot-proofed this match.
Oh.
You know, they let Raquel do all of her power stuff. And let Rhonda do all of her submission stuff, and it worked out. Now, very quickly, early in this Raquel run, she's already had her match with the women's title and lost. Now what?
Yeah, that's an awkward part of this situation. If you're wanting her to be challenging for that thing later down the line, she has some rebuilding to do at this point. Like, they didn't completely bury her, and I think that Michael Cole and Pat McAfee did a good job of selling how close Rhonda was to losing the matchup. Even with something of a short match. So it's not all is lost, but she hasn't really been on TV that much. Like,
No, and she is absolutely being miscast as a smiling baby face. Oh, the smiling. And now she's gotta speak Spanish and roll her R's, which you can tell she doesn't do. Maybe she doesn't know Spanish, but you can tell she doesn't speak it. She doesn't speak it frequently.
She is not as fluent as, let's say, Santos Escobar. Let's say.
Yeah. No. Once again, the boxes they want to check off. You know, the Latina market. This is for that, but Raquel was never groomed in that way in NXT. She was, you know, even as a baby face, you know, she was kind of a stone-faced killer.
Oh, yes. Yeah, this is a new and interesting role for her. It'll be interesting to see if she can pull it off.
It will be. But it'd be interesting, you know, where they go from here. I mean, once again, not exactly a robust roster to have multiple women's feuds going on at the same time. And then you went right to Shotzi and Aaliyah arguing over who should, you know, have, you know, who should have made it there first. And it's Shotzi tapped out to Rhonda in under 2 minutes. Aaliyah's been given no credibility. She was about to tap out to Charlotte in under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was like,
you could tell they needed Sasha. Now, the Naomi thing was weird, but the Sasha thing is kind of on point. If you're not going to bring Bayley back right away for Hell in a Cell. Honestly, what I do at this point is Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, the latest. You're going to unify everything else. Let's unify those women's titles too.
Oh, yeah. I suppose
if you're going to unify stuff and hold yourself to it, they might as well do that too. It'll solve some of the problem.
Yes, having. Yeah, just because they've cut down their roster, having at least the champions be able to bounce between shows really helps out. I think, and cuts down on a lot of confusion and unnecessary confusion at that, honestly.
Yeah,
you just need a deeper roster to deal with that kind of thing. I suppose, is there anything else within the WWE that that you want to talk about?
I guess, well, I mean, not WWE, but the news breaking this week. SummerSlam weekend, but not affiliated with WWE. Ric Flair has one final match at 73 years old.
Oh my God, how dare I forget about that. Wowzers. Probably because I want to forget about that.
Yes, we all want to forget about that.
My phone will not let me do that. I feel like I've gotten at least 3 headline stories about it already. And I'm just like, no. I don't, because is it Jim Crockett Promotions or something like that?
Yes, it appears that one Mr. Conrad Thompson has bought the rights to Jim Crockett Promotions for this show he's promoting. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I think one Crockett brothers left, so you know, I wouldn't surprise me if they're involved. But no, I mean, this is all Flair's son-in-law is doing. Yeah, supposedly it's going to be a 6-man tag. They wanted Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on the other side, but it's already come out that Ricky Steamboat has said no.
Yeah, probably because he's 73 also, or something close to it.
Yeah. And the last time he got physically active in a wrestling ring, he almost died.
Yeah, does not seem worth it.
No. It definitely does not seem worth it. Yeah, you know, Carney's got a Carney. I guess they'll find the right match for him. The belief was it was always going to be a tag match or a 6-man tag. Maybe AEW will let him have Sting for the weekend. Maybe Sting will agree to it. I mean, they do want at least one classic Flair rival on the other side. If in Flair's last match he still somehow ended up losing to Hulk Hogan, that would at least be funny.
Oh man, good old Double H. Feel like that name has not popped up a lot recently.
No. He's been quiet.
But yeah, and he hasn't really wrestled a match in quite some time either at this juncture.
No, him and Flair both. I mean, they kind of quietly ended up having their last matches in TNA when it was still called TNA.
Yeah, it's wow.
That's pro wrestling. I mean, there's always one more match. There's only one more payoff. And until the day comes that you physically can't do it anymore, your last match ends up being something completely unspectacular that no one remembers.
Oof. Yep. And that is definitely going to be the case for Ric Flair.
This could become very notable and not famous, but infamous for very bad reasons.
You mean it's more than famous? It's infamous?
Yeah, it could be.
Oh, man. Wow. A joke from... What was that? The Three Amigos. Still fairly fresh in the mind. Probably a bad thing. I'm not gonna watch it. Good for them if they get a lot of eyeballs on it, I suppose, but I don't need to participate in those shenanigans at all. Are you gonna buy that just for the spectacle?
Most likely, I would like to say no. Sitting here right now, more than 2 months away, you know, 2.5 months away, I'd like to say no. Now, day of, who knows? I'm not going to take a huge moral stand against it, just in case. But as of now, yeah, I want nothing to do with this.
Oh yeah, but it is not in moral stand territory. It's in. There's no, like, I need some other reason for them to talk me into that house. It's not, yeah, you know, that match isn't the one talking me into that show. If that is the main hook for this show.
Oh, I mean, it has to be. I mean, it definitely is. I mean, Conrad's building his whole StarCast weekend around Flair, basically, including doing the roast they were going to do years ago.
Oh.
Like, which a few years ago, you know, all the usual suspects would have come. Flair was way more respected in the wrestling community. Maybe that could have been fun, but this is gonna be the wrestling equivalent of that Chevy Chase roast, where a bunch of people Chevy Chase had never met in his life before called him an asshole for 2 hours.
That's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be that level bad, but it's... Yeah, it's not the right time.
No. I mean, at that point, it will have been almost a year since the Dark Side of the Ring fiasco. And, you know, people don't necessarily have long memories.
Oh, I mean, I've already seen the... Was it Car Shield that he was doing ads for?
Oh, he was already doing college car shields. So they just...
Seen them start running them again, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, they're definitely running them again. It does appear that they've made at least one new one.
Oh, I have not seen the new one. But and yeah, I
think it seems... If one seems new, maybe I'm wrong, but yes. Whatever. I mean, it's...
Well, no, I'm just agreeing with your point that things have cooled off as far as the Dark Side of the Ring stuff goes. Like, he's still Ric Flair. He's going to get some play. You know.
I mean, it did get some play. I mean, and the whole thing of them running this SummerSlam weekend, but WWE not trying to run any kind of interference at all. Interesting. Interesting, because
are they doing it in Nashville? Podcast
Empire has always seemed to have a very close relationship with AEW in these things, but they're WWE's not outwardly helping them, but they're not trying to sabotage them either.
Is it happening in Nashville?
Yeah, isn't it? It's in Nashville at the fairgrounds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is, I mean, I guess SummerSlam has kind of gotten to be a little bit of a mini WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that this type of situation is going on. Yeah, definitely not going down to Nashville for that if I'm not going down for SmackDown. Or for SmackDown, good God, SummerSlam. yeah, I've got to admit, because AEW Rampage has been on at weird times, I have not caught it at all the last 2 weeks.
No, I'm not making Rampage any kind of a priority in my life.
So, yeah, there is that. I will put it that way. Bell time beer of the show. I found a couple of ciders left in the old fridge from Mr. Granny Mays here. And this one was the Red Clay Cider No Filter Cider. Dry, unfiltered cider. I mean, it's a straight up apple cider. That's dry filtered, so it kind of gives it a little bit of a wine tang to it. And there's a little extra haziness due to the unfilteredness. It's pretty tasty. I've got to admit, I like other flavoring agents in ciders. I love apple cider itself in the, you know, just the apple form, not the alcoholic version. It's just okay. Probably not a ringing endorsement, but these things happen.
Yeah.
I like, what did I have? Oh, shit. Which one did I have over the weekend that was really good? It might have been the strawberry. No, it wasn't the strawberry. Rhubarb. Where are my checked-in beers, sirs? And, oh, really? You're going to give me by style? Do it by date. Come on. Oh, whatever. Anywho, I'm going to let that go because I can't do an easy find for it. That is the bell time beer from at DeFrango11 here. This happy show here. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify. Have a good night, grandkids.